Hey, Putty Patrollers, your friendly neighborhood podcaster, host man guy, Zach here. Just a quick note about the episode. You may notice after the break that Luke disappears. He's not stuck in the Morphin Grid. He unfortunately had an issue with his podcasting file, and our backup system didn't work this time either. So he is just mysteriously vanished from the second half of the episode, and we apologize for that. It also means I had to do some editing to make the conversation not weird, so apologies if you notice any of that. But the jokes and the flow should still be there, hopefully. So we hope you enjoy it. Also, quick note, because I'm a bad podcast host and I forget to plug it at the end of the episode, you should, if you do enjoy the show, you should check out audioentropy.com. As always, we've got a bunch of other shows from guests that have been on this show that you might enjoy. And we also have a link up there for donations to help us keep doing this and maybe get some backup equipment so this won't happen anymore. So if you want to, go ahead and do that. If not, enjoy the show. And yeah, okay, let's do this.
Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up, bro?
Bring me your teens. Teenagers with attitude, clad in tightly colored costumes, book and skull.
Welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around talking about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters, and sometimes you make a decision to replace an actor and then change your decision later and make everybody super confused. So we'll be talking about that today.
Like, for instance, maybe like letting a guy go and writing his character off the show and then hiring him back?
Well, okay, yes, but that's not specifically what I was referring to.
And then doing it again?
Yeah, I mean, like, they have a track record for this stuff.
That's true. I'm Zach, and joining me this week, we've got Joel.
Yeah, that's me. That's the guy who's interrupting the intro again.
It's fine, whatever. We've got Luke.
I'm sleepy.
Good morning, sunshine. We've got Mike.
Hi, hello. I'm very sick.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome, by the way. This is going to be really
high energy
good.
Episode.
And we've got our friend Liz back.
Woo!
Yeah, see?
Yeah,
woo! Yeah, Liz is going to be carrying all of us.
Oh, you guys, that's too much pressure. I don't know if I'm up to that.
Well, we're happy to
it's
have
not,
you back.
It's not at all. None of us set a very high bar for this stuff.
Oh, darn.
No, to come on here, you just have to be, like, have a pulse, basically. It's not a high bar.
If you can put some sounds together that can be recorded, you might as well be a guest. That's about the
yeah,
bar.
Yeah, that's why I'm happy to announce that next week our guest will be, a sippy bird just hooked up to, I don't know, an air horn.
You just said you have to have a pulse.
That wouldn't be good.
What'd you say?
You just said you have to have a pulse to be on this show.
Yeah.
Okay, I lied. Good
point. Yeah, Zach, let's get one of your cats on here as a guest.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Well, last time I had to stop the recording briefly because she tried to eat the microphone, so I could have just recorded that and put it out. But...
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so Liz, welcome back to the show. It's been a little while.
I know.
Let me first ask you if you have any Power Rangers-related events that have happened in your life since last time you were on.
Well, I think everybody knows I began playing the organ. And so, I'm now doing that during our services, quote-unquote services, Pretty soon we'll be able
to... So do you have a title within the church as well, or are you just organist?
You know, they called me sister, but I don't know if I'm there yet.
Well, when you achieve full sisterhood, you get your colors, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not there yet, but, I'm working on it, slowly but surely.
All right. That sounds good. Well, when you... When you become the head of the Church of Zordon, you'll have to
I think
to
it's
let
called
us,
ascending, Zach.
I'm not comfortable. This joke is like so out of my control at this point.
Yeah, it really it's yeah.
I'm not jumping directly to I'm a sister. I'm just like, I participate.
Right.
I don't
let it happen when it happens.
Yeah,
This is what happens. This is what happens when you let somebody else edit your show and that person like has a lot of creativity is they saddle you with horrific in jokes that you have to keep doing. So anyway, we're glad to have you back. So we were talking a little bit off mic before we started about whether or not you had seen the most recent bit of Power Rangers movie news. So now that we're there, I guess we can go ahead and move into it for our Morphinusnimal this week, which we've talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and I think the episode where we discussed it just went up. The toy Megazord. I mean,
by the time they're hearing this, it won't, because this episode will have just gone up.
Fuck yeah, you're right. Whatever. Listen, our timeline is screwy, but you got you, the listener, have heard us discuss the Megazord. You know
this
could
all be solved by us making these live shows.
That's a terrible idea.
Just gotta take it to the streets, man.
Anyway, so you've heard us discuss that. You know that we weren't hugely positive on it, let's say.
That's a way to put it.
Since then, they have released the individual Zords. And I don't think that I thought... I don't think I could have predicted that the best one would have been the Tyrannosaurus that we were a little bit critical of / were like, waffling on. But they put the other ones out, and I don't know, you guys. I know I'm the one who's supposed to be like the positive ray of sunshine for this thing, but like it's really getting kind of tough.
Why is the Mastodon Zord a spider?
Okay, let's step up to that. Okay, so first of all, they've already shown the Tyrannosaurus Zord. We know what that looks like. They also put out all the other ones. We've got the Sabertooth Tiger, which, it's got fangs. It's got four legs. It doesn't super look like a Sabertooth Tiger.
So it's like the Transmetal version of a Sabertooth Tiger.
Yes, that's actually a really good comparison.
It has an even bigger gun on its back than the Tyrannosaurus did.
Well, that makes sense, Mike, because it's got four legs, therefore it can carry a heavier arsenal because it has more support.
I will say that that's the part of it I like the most, probably, because it's just a big fucking laser cannon, and hey, I like those.
Do you think Trini like rides on top of it and like shoots it?
Like a mounted gun,
right?
That'd be okay, I mean, yeah, all right. This is a lot of fucking guns, but whatever. So yeah, the Tyrannosaurus and I would say the Tyrannosaurus and the Sabertooth Tiger are probably the most in line with what I expected, aka super stylized weird versions.
I mean,
of
the pterodactyls
robot dinosaurs.
Are right in that
the pterodactyl fine. The pterodactyl doesn't. It looks basically like. A spaceship, but I mean, I see it at least that they were going.
It's got wings and a pointy beak thing. Like it's.
I don't know. I just no. Just no.
Well, Well, so if you're no on that, then we move into the Triceratops, which is the one I was most excited for previously.
Yeah.
And it has six legs like a fucking basilisk for some reason.
Right. Well, yeah. And Triceratops, try is three, three sets of legs.
Joel, it's still funny, but also I have now heard you say that joke. Oh, wait, goddammit, it's been three times, hasn't it? Motherfucker, fine. Fine. It's fine. Anyway, yes, it's a Triceratops. It's got the head looks basically like what you saw on the poster. Then for some reason it's got six legs. I don't know why.
Well, surely they would only add one extra pair of legs to a quadrupedal animal.
You'd be surprised. because then we go to the mastodon, and listen, the other ones, I stand by what I said. It's a stylized version of the animal, except that I don't know what this is even supposed to fucking be. Like,
this looks nothing like a mastodon.
No, like someone on the someone that we talked to who is not a fan of the original Power Rangers show was looking at it and trying to figure out what it was based on just the picture and was like, I don't know, like an alien troop transport thing. Like, yeah it is this big fat black thing with eight legs.
Yeah,
eight legs.
Thank you for laughing because I was stifling one.
Fat Albert.
No, god damn it. And it's just got like the head is completely fucking indiscernible. I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Like there is a quote unquote trunk and tusks, but not really. And then yeah, I cannot get Mastodon out of it no matter
how
hard
I try. Pokemon have gotten weird, guys.
What?
Pokemon have gotten weird.
Yeah.
It looks like the fucking alien, man.
Yeah.
It does. It looks like, did any of you guys have those toys? First of all, Alien, the movie that has like fucking chest bursters in it, had a weird number of toys targeted at children. I don't know if you guys remember that, but
yeah,
like, I guess.
Like, you don't typically target toys at adults. I mean, you do now, but not back then.
I don't know if it had a cartoon, but in Alien. In Alien 3, they introduced the concept that, like, if the alien uses a dog as the host, then it's more like, it's like a on all fours alien, so it looks different based on what the host is.
Yeah, take on shape properties based on...
Yeah, and so they released a shitload of toys where it was like, this is the rhino alien, this is the elephant alien, this is the, like... And that's what this reminds me of, is...
Hey, Zach, I just looked it up. They tried to make an Aliens cartoon. It didn't get off the ground.
Did someone go, no, that's fucking crazy? Like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know why that would be the line they draw it at, because, like... They made a Beetlejuice
cartoon.
There's
stills here from a pilot, apparently.
Was there a Rambo cartoon? There was, right? I'm not crazy about that.
I don't know.
If there wasn't like a licensed Rambo product one, I'm sure there were many cartoons inspired by it. Like,
sure.
For sure.
So anyway, yeah, it looks like a fucking xenomorph beast, like some kind of weird. Oh god, I just.
Yeah, it was called Rambo: The Force of Freedom.
Oh great, good. That's a good name.
So
anyway,
somebody pointed out that the number of legs for each Zord goes in order 0, 2, 4, 6, and 8.
Oh my god,
oh my god.
It does.
Yeah, speaking of the 0, we actually skipped the pterodactyl.
No, we talked about it, right?
It's got big old holes in the wings.
Well, yeah.
It's a magical space plane.
But that's the thing, it's just a space plane. It doesn't look like a pterodactyl at all.
Yeah.
I mean it's...
It looks more like a pterodactyl than half of these things look like their animals.
They try too hard.
Yeah, I think that might be part of it, Liz. I feel like they started from a place of like, okay, we're going to take these original designs and we're going to throw them in the garbage. And then we're going to look at these animals
and then
we're
going to pull some other stuff out of the garbage can and go with that.
Pretty much.
And we're gonna try to make these into like space animal versions. Okay,
yeah.
Fine, but like, and goddammit, I'm about to use a word that I actually get I feel is overused, but especially this fucking mastodon is like, that was the idea, space animal, and then they over-designed the shit out of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, over-designed actually, like, literally fits this very well, because there's so many elements on here that should not be on there and make the product
like a
worse.
Spider web on its back?
I don't know. What is that supposed to be? Like, honestly, if the movie comes out and it's like,
Wait. Do you think the design team doesn't realize that a mastodon is supposed to be a mammal? Maybe. Do you think they think it's some sort of spider?
Somebody didn't bother to look it up and they assumed it was a tarantula. They were just like, the spider zord. I got it. Here's the design.
Did you see that talking about that weird net thing that's on its back? It might actually be that it's not a mastodon, it's a spider.
Well, here's the other problem with that. They also just released Ranger Nation got a hold of one of the toy morphers. And it's got all the coins with it, and the coin is fucking clearly a mastodon. Like,
okay, well, I don't even know that.
It's a woolly mammoth. It's not like, surprise, we changed it to a spider. I actually would be more okay with that, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, yeah, no, Tarantula Zord would be cool. I'd be fine with that.
But I just don't understand. Like, I'm now really, I would love to talk to the designer for these and just like, what was your driving, like, what was your design
just
philosophy?
Put them in a chair in a dark room with a single light and interrogate them and demand to know what happened.
Yeah, I'm gonna James Bond hit them in the balls with a fucking carpet flogger until he answers my questions. And the biggest question is, what the fuck? Yeah, I just, man, I'm last time when we talked about the Megazord, I'm still psyched for the movie because that trailer was still something I'm interested in, but I just don't, I don't know.
I think my best guess is someone said, well, Zordon's an alien, so it don't make no sense for him to use Earth animals, so.
He's using Earth animals anyway. Well, just fucked up versions of them.
Yeah, no, those are probably some kind of space dinosaurs that just happen to look like Earth dinosaurs.
Right, it's like how most aliens look like humans with, like, stuff glued to their face.
Do you
right.
think they will actually say this is, like, a space Tyrannosaurus? Because then
I might actually
turn back around on it, if that's the explanation.
Like, I mean, at that point, it's basically like Space Godzilla, who's just Godzilla with some, like, crystal shit on it.
Space Godzilla is hilarious to me because, well, the thing you just said. Yeah, I don't know. It's Godzilla, but from space. Fuck it. Who cares?
Gun on the tiger, it just looks like it's going to crush it.
It's literally so as big as the entire torso of the tiger. It's hilarious. Like, yeah, I don't know. Again, it's possible that in the CG, like in the final movie, it'll look better, but oof,
you keep saying that, Zach.
Is the CG going to remove four legs? Like,
yeah, that's true. No, probably not. Yeah, someone, and I'm sorry,
they can only fit 8 on the toy. The actual CG version has 16.
I can't recall the name, and I'm sorry.
It's
don't
the
mean
millipede
to...
sword.
Oh, yes. Jesus. I don't mean to leave you out, your name off this, but someone on the Facebook group said, I remember, you know, when we were talking about the Tyrannosaurus Zord and we're like, maybe it's missing some decals or detailing. He was talking about, like, hey, maybe you haven't bought, like, kids' toys in a while, but apparently the trend lately, it has been to make these things, like, have less and less detailing, I guess, for production costs. And I was looking at some of the recent Zords for, like, the TV show, and yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, yes.
A lot of those toys look like they basically came out of a single mold and were slapped together, and that was it.
Yeah.
Maybe they put a sticker on them.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. I'm also sending to you guys right now, someone got a picture of the back of the box for the Megazord combiner version.
Yeah, I saw this.
That shows where all the Zords go in the Megazord. I still don't understand how that.
Yeah, there's like a good 40% of the Zord that's not represented in the, like, yeah, doesn't have anything pointing to
it. It's very confusing. Does the pterodactyl like actually split into two pieces? Like, it, I don't understand, like, what's going on.
I think the middle part becomes the head.
Okay, man, it's just this. I feel like
where does the rest of the saber-toothed tiger go?
Yeah, that's a really
where is
good
the rest
question.
Of it?
Because it's just a little bit of it. So yeah, I don't know. I'm at this point, I've moved on to morbid curiosity to see like how this thing actually works as a toy in terms of physically. I still don't understand how this becomes one.
Yeah, I'm really concerned that there's not going to be a proper transformation sequence for this thing.
In the movie, our horrible, like, it's just going to
It's going to be like a
become...
Pokemon evolution where it just turns into a beam of light and then, bam, they're all together.
See, I would almost be, like, that one thing I'd be okay with if it was, like, they're all T-1000s and they melt into, like, a giant pool of liquid metal and then the, like, man emerges from it. That'd be cool.
Oh, no. No,
no, it would be incredibly disappointing.
Wouldn't all of the Power Rangers be dead?
Yes. <happened? laughs> And then I wouldn't have to worry about this movie anymore.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just saying, like aesthetic stuff like that, like, that's purely just, like, oh, well, like, I'm okay with them changing that stuff. It's the stuff, it's how they're changing it that I hate.
Yeah.
Guys, I had low expectations for this movie from Jump Street, and, like, every single thing that comes out about this movie is bad.
But what about just, Bill Hader as Alpha 5? That's no, pretty good. No?
No.
Like, maybe only the casting has saved it a little.
The casting, yeah. I still think, has been... The casting's been good, I think.
Yeah, but you know what? Man of Steel had good casting.
Man of Steel does have good casting. It's got really good casting, actually. Yeah. This is a good point. But yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say. Take a look at it for yourself. It's up on the Facebook.
There is one more thing to say. Someone showed us a shot from one of the boxes on the Facebook group, one of the listeners, and it says Morphing Grid Lights and Sounds.
Yes.
Confirming.
Confirmed Morphing Grid.
Morphing Grid. And that it has lights and sounds, I guess.
Oh, that's good. Well,
that's actually.
Luke,
that's,
Luke
that's
how,
good.
How does the presence of lights and sounds affect your theory?
I mean, I think I was taking it as a given that they had lights and sounds, Mike.
I think the way you'd spin that would be the lights and sounds that we perceive are, like, the only effects we can see in our world, like, bleed over.
Oh, okay, sure. So, that's actually cool, because it means that there will be some sort of thing they're tapping into, and not just literally... Yeah, it's just alien technology.
Yeah, see, like, you say that's cool, like, that is about number 80 on my priority list.
Oh, no, it's the barest minimum, like, for sure. You're
like,
right.
I don't care!
So yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I at this point, like, I'm just waiting to see what it's gonna look like. I would love another trailer to come out and show me what the fuck this thing looks like in the movie itself.
I bet you'll be one towards the holidays.
There kind of has to be, right? Like, it's.
I bet you what's coming out Christmas Day? I bet there's something there.
There might be. I don't know. Rogue One, maybe the. That's a big nerd thing. Maybe there'll be one at the top of that. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. But yeah, that's
kids
it.
Like the Star Wars.
Kids like the Star Wars. I can confirm that children enjoy the
kids?
Star Wars.
I still can't tell.
What the?
I mean,
the,
teens.
This thing. I mean, yeah. I would. It seems more and more like it's targeted at your 14-year-old cousin who only plays Reaper in Overwatch.
I have no idea who the intended market for this movie is anymore.
I'm not sure they do either, to be honest.
Well, is it children? Is it me who, like, watched it as a kid?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was supposed to be for people who like Power Rangers as a kid, but then were like, oh, it's too kiddy, so I don't watch it anymore. Like, that's what it kind of seemed like.
Yeah.
But now I'm not sure, because, I mean, I went on the Facebook page for Power Rangers when they announced, like, the official one, when they announced the Megazord. And I scrolled down through, like, 150 comments, and none of them were positive. Like, I don't think they're hitting their target demo. because the people who were commenting on it were not happy. So,
well, also the kind of people who would comment on it are people like us. So,
well, no, but I think that I don't know. I feel like that kind of, you know, those sorts of Facebook pages do draw a big, like, oh yeah, I'll give a click on this thing that I used to watch. Like, they do have a wider pull, and it didn't seem like people were psyched about it. But I don't know. I have, like I said, I've heard some people be positive about the Megazord. I don't think I've seen anyone say that they like this Mastodon design. I don't think I've seen that. So,
I guarantee you it's someone out there.
Someone thinks it's the coolest shit in the world, and I mean, love to ask them why.
That person, unfortunately, is like really high up in the company of the people making the movie.
Right, exactly. I think even if you like it, though, like, it's a bad Mastodon design.
Because it doesn't look like a fucking Mastodon. So, anyway, that's all I've got for our Morphinusnimal. Again, it's not too much to go over, really, but take a look.
Yeah, only 20 minutes worth of discussion.
And you're shut up. And, you know, post on the Twitter or on the Facebook group. Tell us what you think. If you like it, tell me why. And I'm not going to, like...
Yeah, that's not like an explain yourself for having an opinion.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, I would like to know, because I don't get it. That one specifically. I think some of the other ones have cool things about them, but...
I mean, they don't, but...
Okay, harsh. Fine. Whatever. Jesus. Let's move on. Let's just get right into it, because I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about this episode. This is episode 10.
Boy, howdy,
10,
this episode.
Episode 10.
Best episode of the season.
Of season 2, Venus Island. And as we previously discussed, this is the first episode where, oh God, help me. Walter Jones and the guy who plays Jason, whose name is?
No, yeah, what is it? I'm just going to wait.
Oh God, you're just letting me drown, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember. Something? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Listen, I'm a little sleepy, and I'm doing my best, but I cannot come up with... Austin St. John, Jesus, thank you.
Wow.
He did it. Good round job. Of applause. Everybody, let's give it up for Zach. He did it all by himself.
Well, no, that would just screw up his audio syncing.
I'm going to cut all of this out of the... episode.
Don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare.
So, yeah, they were not present to do the dubbing for the in-suit Japanese footage, and we will see what that means in a little bit, and it's pretty fucking crazy. But we open on the beach. We have a beach episode. We haven't had one in a while. There were
a
couple.
We open on the beach, and they play a bootleg-ass version of Crocodile Rock.
Oh, they do. That's true. I didn't really notice. That's a good point. So we've got Trini, Kimberly, and Tommy with a little girl who we have previously not seen because it's Power Rangers. So
right, and we'll never see again because it's Power Rangers.
So all the tertiary characters appear and then disappear immediately.
What's this kid's name? She has a name.
I want to just say Melissa because I feel like for whatever reason it's always Melissa, but that's not right. Hallie. Her name is Hallie.
Okay.
And she is telling Kimberly and Trini about a dream that she had where she was in a deep sleep and she was waiting for a prince to come wake her up. Which
so she's seen one of like 10 different Disney movies.
Yeah, right. She read a fairy tale story at some point.
We should establish that apparently this is the reason that the four of them are building a sandcastle.
Oh, right. Is that?
You need context for somebody building a sandcastle at a beach. Like,
well, yeah,
you just have them doing that. You gotta explain that.
We get
this is Power Rangers. No one does anything unless it's specifically for the plot.
And also, they so little trust the viewers that they have to have that fucking scene where Zed says, "And now putties," every episode, even though you know exactly where the putties are coming from. So it's not out of character for them to do this shit. We get a bit I like a lot, which is Tommy going, that sounds really sappy. And then Kimberly basically elbows him and is like, no, it doesn't. That's very romantic.
It's the most personality Tommy's displayed in quite a while.
Yeah.
He's a total doofus.
Yeah.
He doesn't know not to like this little girl is just like, oh yeah, I want to be a princess and be rescued by a prince. You know, the old fairy tale thing. And Tommy's just like, that's stupid.
Tommy does not have social cues. Like, he struggles with understanding what is acceptable to say.
I really like the idea that Tommy, like, finally clued into, like, being cool or whatever, and, like, the idea that, oh, yeah, you know, acting aloof about stuff makes you seem cool. But he completely failed to grasp when it is and isn't appropriate to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Such as children.
Dude, that's why the Green Ranger is so badass. He doesn't give a shit about the feelings of small children.
Yeah. So, Trini is, you know, talking to her, and she's like, well, you better make the castle wall really high so the prince has a challenge, which I think is a weird thing to say, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah. No, you've got to earn that shit.
Yeah, I like that they're like, well, you know, the best thing little girls can aspire to is to be rescued on this show where we have two female superheroes.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like, that's a little bit of a mixed message.
Listen,
I don't know.
I've made it clear my opinions on this show's position on women as a concept.
They stumble some. He's talking about the episode where, I think primarily
The last episode with Zach's girlfriend that vanished.
The Angela episode where it was all about how much she just wanted pearls. Like, that was a little... Yeah, that was a little weird as well. So, yeah.
Speaking of which, this fucking guy whose name I had honestly forgotten until someone said it.
You mean Richie?
Richie, the Richmeister, walks up behind Trini and she just goes, ah.
Hi, Richie.
He literally shows up for 2 seconds to remind us that he exists and that Trini's crushing on him.
Like, God, that's literally it, right? He's not in the rest of this episode.
He doesn't say anything.
He says hello or hi, I think.
Or something like that. Yeah. He gives the I'm supposed to be handsome smile.
Yes.
Right, yes.
He is actually, honestly, I'm not insulting the dude. He's just got a lot of competition. He's the least attractive male member of this cast.
Wait.
I wouldn't say that.
Dude, put him next to Walter Jones, Austin St. John... Jason David Frank and David Yost.
So we're not including Bulk and Skull,
right? I think he fits in with those guys fine.
Yeah.
Hold on. So you're ranking David Yost above this guy in attractiveness?
Yes, absolutely. No way. Without hesitation, 100%.
What?
Yes.
Nah, bro.
Have you seen David Yost's guns?
Yeah, no. David Yost looks fine too. I don't think any of them are particularly out of the league of the others. Like,
I don't know.
Okay,
I think these young men are all far out of any of our leagues, and that's all we can say about it.
Liz, where do you place Richie on the scale here?
Liz, let's get your power rankings.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, let's see.
Well,
here.
He doesn't qualify because he's not a Power Ranger.
Well, that's what I was saying, so you guys aren't including Bulk and Skull into this whole equation.
Okay,
right?
That's true. That was unfair of me. This is a good point.
Like, they're part of the cast.
Okay.
Not the main ones. I mean, those are at the bottom.
They're more of a part of the cast than Richie, the guy who we're bringing in here.
Okay, so you say Richie is above both Bulk and Skull. Okay.
Yes. So I would have to say, I would say Jason David Frank, Austin St. John. No, actually, I might put Richie above Austin St. John.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What?
I might just go Jason David Frank, Richie. Austin St. John, and then, what is it, Walter?
Walter Jones.
Walter Jones,
Jones, and then David.
Aw, poor David. Well, okay.
Skull.
Now that we have objectified all the men on the cast, which is I'm okay with. I mean,
what about Lord Zedd? Where does he fall?
Oh, God.
is he? I don't think he's considered to be even a person. So
he has no skin. So
literally, you know,
there's nothing there.
Hey, do you think anybody ever called Zed thin-skinned, and then do you think that he murdered them? I'm going to guess yes.
I mean, yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm looking at Zed. He's got some pretty good abs.
Well, it's just because they're more visible, you know.
Right, I guess it's mean, easy to have, easy to have good abs skin. When you have 0% body fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah, like, he doesn't even have a face to judge.
You know, that's a good point, though. I guess that whatever thing happened to him, I guess it was the touching the Zeo crystal, right? Was the canon
apparently,
what burned his skin away. Apparently, it burned all the body fat also and just left him with rippling abs and biceps.
Yes, the Zeo diet.
Yeah. It comes with an extremely steep price.
One of those fucking clickbait ads on the bottom of a website, this one weird trick to lose all your body fat at once.
Yeah, be evil and touch the Zeo crystal. It burn all your fat, also your skin. And
doctors hate it.
Yeah. So anyway, after she gazes longingly at Richie, everyone ignores the fact that that even happened and is just like, Kimberly's like, so Hallie lives in your neighborhood? And she's like, yeah, she's a neighbor, babysitter sometimes. She calls it the castle next door, which I thought was, again, they're pushing this thing a little hard.
Again, this is the only explanation for why anybody knows this girl is that it's Trini's next-door neighbor. That's all we get.
And apparently her parents just give her to Trini. Whatever. Babysitting is a thing. It's fine.
Sure.
I get it. That said, I was going to say, I did some babysitting, and I don't think I ever took a six-year-old somewhere with me and all my friends. Yeah. That's a little weird. But yeah, so
the best thing ever happens.
Yeah, do you want to do it, Joel? I know how excited you are about this.
Okay, so we cut over to Bulk and Skull, who are peeking out from behind a rock. And at first, I was kind of disappointed because they seem to just be wearing long johns, which is pretty low on the Bulk and Skull fashion tier.
That's true. Yeah,
then we find out the nice mirror sunglasses.
Yeah, Bulk sunglasses are great, but other than that, I was really worried. And then we find out why they're in long johns. So they have reached the next stage of their plan to unmask the Power Rangers. They're going to lure them out by causing a disturbance that will require the Power Rangers to intervene.
Uh huh.
Their disturbance is pretending to be putties and attacking the beach.
And by attacking the beach, you mean literally just making putty noises and, moving their arms around.
Yes.
As much as the putties ever threatened anybody.
This is true, yes. So I have a couple problems with this plan. One, you literally either, was it two episodes ago, you saw the goody goods fight off putties. You know that they can do that, and they don't need the Power Rangers because they know fucking karate. You saw that happen. So your idea that only the Power Rangers can stop the putties is not a great one. Also, the putty costumes they have are amazing.
Yeah, I think these are better than the official putty costumes.
So they have written Z on paper plates and are wearing them as a big chest thing.
Well, I don't know, but not so. Skull looks like he has that mask that they use, in the fetish stuff.
Yes, he does. He's got a gimp mask.
Yeah. Am I the only one that's catching this?
No, you're totally right.
Yep. What the hell?
Because Bulk's Bulk's mask is more like a luchador mask. It's just the top of his face. But Skull's is basically a gimp mask, which I assume they just already had.
Right, just lying around.
Yeah, I mean,
they're wearing leather vests because they're Bulk and Skull. They're not really part of the
That's what the Zed putties. The Zed putties have a vest thing.
Oh, that's true. They do. They do have vests. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, that's fair. And then they've got
the incredibly shitty fake Zed knee pads.
I love the knee pads. That's my favorite part. It's great.
So what's great is as they're doing this dumb fucking putty dance, Bulk's ponytail is still sticking out the back of the mask.
Well, of course, yeah. Of course. And also, yeah. Bulk steps on a sandcastle and smashes it as part of his vicious putty attack. And a small child walks over and goes, right in my castle, dork, and kicks him in the shins. And it's the best thing ever.
Right, because then he wanders off. So just like real putties, he can be defeated by kicking him in the Z.
Right, and that's literally what Trini goes, haha, that's just like a real putty. And I was like, shit, throwing some fucking shade at the putties. Like,
yeah, well, and Zed also notices that she's throwing shade at the putties.
Yeah, yes, yes.
That's the entire impetus of this week's evil plan. He's mad that they're insulting his foot soldier.
Yeah, he literally is like, oh, you think putties are a joke, huh? How about I send some putties to get the shit kicked out of them?
How about I fucking steal a child? Yeah, still literally.
His orders are to the beach, putties, and I had this glorious image of putties running through the sand wearing those red and white striped full body bathing suits, carrying towels and folding chairs.
See, I was imagining the slow motion like beach Baywatch. Jogging from Baywatch, but with putties. Yes.
I wanted to see him running around in like Hawaiian shirts and just like I wanted to see the putty happy day at the beach and like right. Wipeout starts playing and they're just dancing in the water until they realize the water's real bad for clay and they're like, oh,
you want the Alolan form putties.
Yeah, yeah. So they're gonna go kidnap this girl. And also, Zed, this is some baffling, we looked at the Japanese footage and didn't know how to incorporate it shit, because Zed says...
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself, because I know what you're saying, but before, he also says, make sure not to hurt her, just teach them a lesson.
Yeah, why would you care? Why would
you
care?
I thought you were Space Satan, why do you care?
You wanted to turn the Earth to cinders! Yeah, why do you care about hurting a little girl?
But he also says... Make sure to take the secret instructions with you.
The bottle of secret instructions.
Yes, so it's literally, Goldar has a bottle with quote-unquote secret instructions in it, and I don't know that that's ever explained why that is a thing. Because we'll find out in a little bit, the instructions are to tell Goldar what to do, but you could just use your words to do that. You don't have to have a special bottle.
Look, Lord Zed has been up in his palace for a little too long. He's gotten paranoid. He's worried the feds have him bugged. Words can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Instructions are on a need-to-know basis only.
So, that's why you write them down, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's just so baffling. So the putties grab this girl, and you hear her yell, like, oh, help me, and the rangers run over to help her, and Goldar's there. And, okay.
I love the taunting Goldar does here. He's like, now you'll see what happens when you piss off Lord Zed. Behold the fucking...
Price of your insolence, he says. Now, this was kind of hard to see because it's the SD grainy footage that we always deal with. But the shot that we're looking at is Goldar, like, kind of in the distance, not super far away, but a little far away. He's holding his sword in one hand and the bottle in the other while the rangers run towards him. He then holds the bottle up in the air and just throws it on the fucking ground. and he teleports away. And in a second, he's going to tell Zed that he, quote-unquote, lost it. And I'm like, wait.
He's going to say he lost it in the battle.
Right.
What battle?
Yeah, is Goldar, like, playing both sides? What the fuck is happening?
Goldar volunteered for this mission that clearly didn't need him in the first place. Like, I think he's just bored.
I mean, I guess. Is he just, like, you said the other episode, Joel, that you think Goldar is, like, disgusted with Zed. I think that was Joel. It might have been Luke. I can't remember. In terms of, like, wow, you started out so strong and then literally just
the same.
No, he's
literally just Rita.
Yeah, you're literally just Rita again. Do you think he's, like, working against Zed now? Like, just, it's just such a weird... I mean, I don't know. Maybe they couldn't think of a good way to have him lose it, but I can. have Tommy kick it out of his hand, like, done. Yeah. It's just,
maybe it falls out of a pocket or something, instead of just him holding it and then not holding it.
I don't think Goldar has pockets on that Goldar suit.
This shot also shows Kimberly's, like, where, like, her, what is happening with her bathing suit? It's, like, backless?
I don't know. It's a little... Oh, wait, is that just because... Oh, yeah, okay. You're right. It is backless. That's a little strange. Also,
he completely covers her on the front, and then there's no back. I don't understand.
Also, worth noting, Trini is in the belliest of belly shirts. Like, whoa. Okay. I mean, 90s, so fair enough. But, oh, hey, last fashion note, return of the green pants. Tommy's got his green pants back instead of just jeans, which is good. I appreciate that.
They are green jorts.
Yeah, that's
and they're amazing.
They are green jorts. So, Goldar teleports away after conspicuously dropping the bottle of secret instructions, the purpose of which, I don't know why he had to bring these. Who the fuck knows?
I'm really glad he did, though, because it revealed a very important thing about Lord Zedd. And that's that he signs his texts just like my dad does.
He totally does. Oh my god, because what happens is Tommy opens this thing and fire shoots out of it. I think the fire is supposed to form the face of Lord Zedd in the sky.
Yeah, it does, very briefly, yeah.
But it's not good, so it was hard to tell, actually. And then it zaps the sand and leaves a message, which just says, oh, I'm sorry, it's in, like, alien language, basically, because that's a whole subplot. Oh, boy.
Okay, so the fire comes out, forms Lord Zedd's face, and then burns the message in the sand. Where was Goldar supposed to open this? Like, would it just burn the instructions on, like, the castle floor?
And also,
like, this is not an efficient way to send messages.
And again, just fucking tell him this. Like, I don't understand the purpose. Also, apparently Z in Alien is just Z. So that's nice to know. The other things
it's not the
letter Z in Zedd language. It's just his symbol.
Are you telling me on his planet Z means, I don't know, murder?
Here's the thing.
it's not just a Z though, Zach. It's the very specific font Z that's on all his shit.
Yeah, it's his emblem.
It would be like Billy signing stuff with the Triceratops symbol.
You're right.
Like, on Zedd's planet in Zedd language, isn't he human?
He's human, but there's humans all over the galaxy in Power Rangers world. Right. Like,
I don't know that he necessarily is human. He gets turned into a human by, like, Zordon's good energy at the end, but I don't think that means he was human.
Yeah, I guess we don't know, really, for sure.
I guess not. I guess I just assumed that, that was the... Like, I didn't assume that that changed your species, it just changed your moral alignment.
Yeah, so, like, I God damn it, I think you're right,
though.
Well,
if there's anything we've learned from this show, sometimes alien species are just inherently evil. That's how this works.
Sure.
I think that one thing to note is that, God damn it, you're right. It is just his, like, family crest, god damn it. It's the House of ZL. It's his stupid Z. damn it. Okay.
Yeah, it means hope. It was on his baby blanket.
Oh, man. Yeah. So they're like, well, it must be some kind of message. Yep. Good point, Tommy. Probably.
I'm sorry. I would have fucking really, like, washed out Zack Snyder shot of Lord Zedd being led down a hallway in handcuffs by a bunch of, like, troops.
So Trini assumes it's a ransom note, which would make
kneel
more
before
sense.
Zedd. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
It's fine. So Trini assumes it's a ransom note, which would make more sense than what it actually is.
Right.
But they say they don't know, and they basically copy it down to take to Billy.
Wait, how do they copy it down?
I don't know.
They don't have a camera or anything. They don't have any paper with
them.
How do they do that?
They don't have cell phones, so...
And they can go get some paper.
I mean, they could have just said on the communicators, hey, Zordon, tune the viewing globe to this, to where we're at.
Yeah, that's true. So we cut back up to the moon, and Zed says, oh, so you're back, Goldar. You must have the girl, right? Yeah.
Like, yes, yes. It was really easy. She's like 10 years old, and we have teleportation powers. Like, I don't know why you think I'd have trouble with this.
Well, no, you'll excuse have issues him before. Because he does have trouble with it because he lost the bottle.
Yeah, so he's like, well, where's the bottle of the special instructions I gave you? I lost it in the battle. And then he says, in the what? The battle? There was no battle. What are you talking about? Like, oh my God. It's just, it makes so little sense, and it would have been so easy to just have them have a fight and drop it. I don't understand why that's not what they did.
But why even? Here's the thing. It would have been so easy for them to just write it like it actually is a ransom note. Like, that would have been so much more simple.
Yeah. There's a lot of scripting things in this that I just don't understand. And I'm not sitting here going, well, the script in Power Rangers could be better. But I mean, literally, it doesn't make sense. Like, it would have taken.
It's like they went out of their way to make it confusing.
Yeah, it's just very confusing. And also, I remember how much I love Zed in this scene because he goes, oh, a battle with a little girl? It must have been really hard. I'm sorry. Poor Goldar. Like, it's pretty great. He's just being a dick.
He says he should make soup out of him.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And then when Zed starts to realize that this could actually be a good thing, he's like, wait a minute. I know. When the Rangers figure out where we took the girl, they'll go to rescue her. And then Goldar starts to go, yes, that should work. I remember one time, and Zed just tells him to shut up.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, Goldar's going to tell a story, and Zed's like, shut the fuck up. I don't give a shit.
The little wavy lines start to go for a like flashback, and Zed just smacks him away.
Yeah. What's great is that this reinforces that Goldar didn't need the instructions. He knew where to take the girl.
Yes, of course he did, yep. Because why wouldn't he? So then Zed's like, well, I guess we'll just ransom the little girl for the Green Ranger. That seems like a good plan to have. Why wasn't that just the plan? Why did you have this other thing? Like,
well, because he just wanted to steal a child and be like, yeah, you don't get that child anymore. Fuck you.
It's mine now.
Yeah, you mocked my putties and I took the child. That seems fair.
He specifically said not to hurt her, though, so what was he going to do with her? Like, just,
I think he's going to do what he's doing with her right now.
Yeah.
I think that was still the plan.
So
yeah, the other half of the plan was always part of the plan, and he's putting the little girl in like a weird evil chamber, and he's gonna make her evil, and it's like, great, you now have a little girl in your arm.
Yes.
Way to go.
The most powerful weapon.
Are you really gonna tell me that she'd be any less competent than his other minions?
No, I mean
she would actually possess the capability to learn and grow, like, and become better over time.
If they had replaced Squad and Babu with an evil little girl for the rest of the season, I'd actually be pretty down with it, to be completely honest. But no, what happens is they go back to the command center. Billy is quote-unquote scanning the characters into the computer, by which I mean he's got like a little one of those like, it's like a stylus attached to the console, and he's
that's a thing. Like, yeah, sure. It's like a laser wand. Like, that is a way of scanning information into a system, especially, like, old. Like, this is predates OCR software.
Well,
if they got the picture, like, with the viewing globe or whatever, then the message is already in the system.
No, an image of the message is in a system.
What
Mike,
did,
do you know
they
how...
printed?
Do you, Mike, it's an image. That doesn't mean anything to a computer. Do you know how hard it is to teach a computer to recognize letters?
This is a magical computer that can scan anything.
It's a magical space computer.
Well, no, if you look, it's not like a photo of it. It's clearly they like wrote it down.
Yes, it's just on paper. So they must have just copied it down. And yeah, so anyway, they're like, well, maybe the message that Goldar dropped will tell us something. Yes, thank you. That is the plan. Good job. And they get the translation out of the computer, and they say, Billy says, it's instructions to Goldar. It says, take Hallie to Venus Island, where she'll join us forever. creepy because it's a little girl, but all right. Zordon knows exactly everything about Venus Island because, of course, he does. It's a magical island that only Zed knows how to get to. And also, it only...
Fuck. Well, it's not that he knows how to get there. It's he can summon it and send it away.
Right. Yes. 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 That's right. So it's also the footage they use is literally just the Island of Illusion, our favorite episode. Yeah. And
it's not the first time they've reused that, like, image either, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
I think that's just their go-to stock, like, mystical location that doesn't really exist.
Right. So he says they can make it rise wherever they wish, wherever he wishes, but the only way to find it is that the trade winds... This is the stupidest fucking shit in the world. The trade winds blow to Venus Island after sunset. Okay, couple questions.
Once again, the writer's going out of their way to confuse us.
Yep. Like, if it can go anywhere, then how do the winds always point to it? I don't understand.
It's a magical island.
Okay, good. Great.
Although I was going to say, Zed, I know it's not like as fun as monsters. You could probably do a lot of damage to the Earth by just moving it around all the time and fucking with our weather patterns.
Yeah, that's true. But instead, Billy makes this like, or Trini's like, Billy, can you follow the wind? And Billy makes this face and sighs like she's just asked him to perform, like, I don't know, create a magical flying car or something hard instead of use like a wind sock. Like, it's just so, they're acting like this is the hardest thing that Billy's ever had to do. We cut to his garage, and he is, again, he's using sparklers on something. And you can actually hear when he puts this quote-unquote tool away, you can literally hear the sparklers being doused in water when he's quote-unquote turning it off, which is pretty great.
So he also has the requisite, like, bubbling liquids and vials thing, and it's like, what on earth do you need to do chemistry
yeah,
shit
what
for
are those
to make
for?
A weather balloon?
So he's got all these fucking charts of air currents and trade winds, and, like, he's like, okay, I've made the tracking device. I'm going to attach it to this weather balloon.
Did he hack into a satellite to get these? How did he get such current... information about this in, like, the internet age?
The fact that they don't just fucking make a boat and get a sail, like, there are pretty easy ways to figure out which way the wind is going, and it's really stupid.
Not to mention, can't Zordon just, like, scan the Earth with the viewing globe?
No. No, no, he can't do that. That would be too easy. So, yeah, there's a scene where Trini, Billy, and Jason are standing outside of the command center in quote-unquote dusk, I guess, or the sun is going down, rather. But it's clearly, like, a bad day-for-night scene where they just, like, put a filter on the sky. And to make it red.
It looks like there's some really bad, like, forest fires nearby.
Yeah. It looks like they're in Gotham in the animated Batman series where it's just the red sky. So yeah, Billy is like counting the seconds until sunset to release this thing.
Right.
And
well, they're trying to get it together at the last second, and at the last second, Billy realizes, oh shit, the clamp is too heavy. And, like, in a dramatic turn, Jason, like, grabs Trini's hair scrunchie and is just like, fucking use this, go.
The amount of tension they're trying to put into a scene where a man is tying something to a balloon is hilarious. Like, they're playing dramatic music, everybody else is watching from the command center, like... It's so ridiculous. And when they finally let it go, it goes straight up for a second, and they're like, oh no, is it not going to follow the trade winds? And then when it does, Zach is like, oh, it's moving away. We did it. Yeah. And, oh God. Yeah.
We kind of skipped the bit where, like, while they're putting this thing together, Billy, like, calls Zach And it's like, hey, so is the scanner over there on the other end working? And Zek's just staring at this goofy science thing that's spinning around. And he's like, yeah, I think.
Yeah, he's like, I don't fucking know. It's nonsense. Yeah, this science plot, quote unquote, is one of the dumber, like...
Wait, were you putting the quotes around science plot or, like, all of it?
The whole thing. Yeah, you can't see
basically
my
basically each word
fingers,
gets quotation marks, and then the whole thing gets another
yeah, yeah, each individual word gets air quotes, and then the whole thing gets air quotes. But yeah, this is like one of the dumber science things that Billy's had to do, and that's saying a lot. Like, it's just, I don't know. Something about it is so fucking goofy that it's, like, extremely difficult to...
It's a really mundane thing that doesn't actually take a ton of super science knowledge. So the fact that they're trying to make it this big thing for the science guy to do feels weird. And the fact they're trying to make it such a tense moment when it's, like, literally the easiest thing he's ever had to implement.
It's so goofy. Like, I really liked it because it's so stupid. This is one of those, you have to see this scene because I'm probably not conveying how dumb it is in words. But yeah, that's what we're working with.
Yeah, see, the problem is the words we're using are too, like, intelligent-sounding to truly...
Yeah, we're super intelligent. I don't know if you know that. We're over here at...
We would have to make fart sounds in the microphone for, like, I don't know, 5 minutes to properly convey just how off the wall this
is.
Oh,
God. So at this point, they're like, okay, well, we found the tracking device went to the island, so now we know where the island is, so we're going to teleport over there. Beat up, you know, whatever monsters are there. They don't really know. Grab Hallie and get out. And Tommy's like, yeah, let's do it. And everybody, again, is like, hey, you don't have your powers, you know. Remember that thing that we tell you, like, every 5 minutes? Like,
right.
At this point, I'm imagining that they're, like, eating lunch. And Kimberly leans over and goes, you're losing your powers. And then they just keep eating corn. Like,
yeah, Tommy gets up to go get, like, a second ham patty or whatever. Like, Tommy, right. Are you sure about that? You know, your powers aren't.
Did you say a ham patty?
Yeah.
What is a ham patty?
What? It's a common school lunch.
I literally don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no.
I don't either.
I don't either. What the fuck?
It's just a ham patty sandwich.
I don't know what that
really
means.
Self-explanatory.
Are you trying to describe a hamburger or a ham sandwich?
No, I just Googled it.
Sure.
He's,
no, like actual ham.
It's called a ham patty.
Although technically it's on a burger bun, so it would be a hamburger.
I've just
according to the Australia.
I've just never heard of
slice?
This before. No, literally, ham? It's a ham patty. Like he's not making something up. I've just never heard of it before.
A ham patty.
There you go.
It's like pressed ham.
Ham patties. Okay.
You grind up ham, you press it into a patty, and that's a sandwich out of it.
I learned a new thing. I mocked you for no reason.
Fuck?
I feel bad now.
They were the best lunch my school served. They were fucking delicious.
Man,
not so great.
Well, it's six. Well, the picture I found is a Hormel tin with six patties in water.
It's
gross.
It's a school lunch.
Oh,
so
sure.
You gotta imagine it costs nothing.
Oh yeah. I mean, I would say French bread pizza if you want the
right.
most delicious shitty. High school lunch, but yeah, so anyway, sorry, I feel bad now, Joel, I apologize. I mocked you needlessly. So, at this point, oh god, I lost my place.
They hem and haw about Tommy's gonna lose his powers, and he's just like, well, alright guys, I'll make you a deal. If Zed pulls something, I'll teleport back immediately. Which he doesn't do. But,
well,
you know,
and also, when that happens, they pan over to Jason to, like, because Jason has to make the final call, I guess. And he's like, it's a deal. Now, if Zed pulls anything, he'll leave, which means he doesn't need to go because if nothing happens, then he doesn't need to be
Zed
there.
Doesn't pull
like,
anything, they don't need him. Yeah. If Zed does pull him, he'll leave. Like,
yeah, so it's kind of dumb, but I guess he just wants to go. He's bored. He's lonely. He needs to be with his buddies, which is fine. So they tell
he stays behind at the command center. Zordon just makes fun of him the whole time.
Zordon's just teasing him incessantly. So anyway, at this point we've
got. And here, I know this isn't new news, but just the lighting of this shot, with Jason kind of staring at Tommy Lee, being like, "Okay, it's a deal." The light reflecting off of his just glistening arm muscles. Like, holy shit.
I mean, yes, I will go ahead and say I didn't notice it especially, but, you know, he's got big guns.
Makes it a very one-track
I think
mind
I think it's
today,
because, like, in this scene, like, everyone else is finally wearing sleeves, but not him.
I like how much we've been talking about the sexy men on in this episode. So yeah,
is that new?
I mean,
is that
no,
different?
It's fair. You're right.
Wait, what do you mean everyone else is wearing sleeves? Zach isn't wearing sleeves, and Kimberly isn't wearing sleeves. Half the cast is sleeveless.
Look, I want Austin St. John to pick me up in his big strong arm. And then we'll go fight putties together, okay? Is that so wrong?
So
I thought that was going somewhere else. So I was like,
yeah, well, you know, there's many ways you could go after. I want Austin St. John to pick me up his big strong arms.
Yeah,
and why don't we go with what happens next in the episode?
Well, actually, I'm gonna let the listener.
I mean, I want Kimberly to leg press me with her big strong abs. So, you know, we all have our different, you know, things.
Yeah, different strokes for different
folks.
Oh,
folks. God.
Yeah.
All right, with that, I'm going to let the listener think about big, strong arms for a little bit, and we'll be right back.
I'm going to let the listener think about why they listen to this show.
Alright, so they have located the island, and we're looking through
32 longitude, 66, or I'm sorry, 32 latitude, 66 longitude, if anyone wants to play along at home.
Apparently that's near Afghanistan, according to friend of the show, Eric.
Right, you know, in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, you know, and they also say it's over the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, so no one could be bothered to look up latitude and longitude, apparently.
Well, let's not skip over them looking at the viewing globe before they head over to the island and seeing the little girl on this weird fucking electric.
I mean, we
like,
didn't. We're
slab.
Getting
yeah,
we're getting
she's
there.
So she has what looks like a grid,
like
of
a cage
energy over her. That's like red electricity. It's not the Morphin grid. It's a different grid. In case you were not following along. So, yes, Trini is like, what's happening? And Zordon says that Zed is turning her evil and that when, quote, the red fog has taken over her whole body,
AKA
she will
the
be
red
lost.
Filter that they're digitally inserting over her body.
Yeah, to me, it was like, oh, they wrote that line before they figured out what the effect was going to look like because it's not a fog. But yeah, so apparently they're going to turn. Okay, listen, we've made fun constantly of that one time that Rita tried to steal the intelligence of a 12-year-old. Okay, we did that. It's still dumb. What possible thing could you gain from an 11-year-old evil minion? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, she won't stay 11 years old forever.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
Explain yourself.
I guess I just don't understand the aging process. But yeah, so anyway, they teleport to Venus Island.
So I just want to point out that multiple times now, Tommy has been kidnapped and turned evil at literally the drop of a hat. Like, instantly zap, you're evil now.
That's a good point.
Why is this 10-year-old girl so fucking hard to... turn evil.
Because the 10-year-old girl is less susceptible to suggestion than Tommy is. That's why.
Is it because he's a teenager? Hormones have done half the work for him?
Exactly. So the teleporting section, for whatever reason, they choose to use the exact same footage they did from Isle of Illusion, which means it's the Zhu Rangers again, being, like, clearly it is those characters being thrown to this island. It's not the normal teleport effect. Then they land on the island, and I started laughing hysterically
because I realized
why it was called Venus Island, because...
So, okay, so let's be clear. They land on the exact same beach they were just at before.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
With one very clear difference. The prop department had some leftover foam cutouts from something that they left laying around.
It's these big, awful, awful looking Venus flytrap props that they've put everywhere. And it's like, okay... Nobody says anything about them, which is the weirdest part to me.
These plants are weird.
Kimberly absolutely says something about them.
Okay, fair enough.
She says that they're weird.
Yeah. So they walk off.
There is one thing I actually want to commend the prop department on, and we make fun of the show so often for getting basic continuity wrong that I kind of want to point this out. When the Rangers arrive on the island, they are next to the fucking weather balloon. It's stuck on a rock.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good call, I guess. Yeah, that's fair. So they walk away from this beach and start walking up a hill. Again, there are just fucking Venus flytraps everywhere. And it's just so stupid looking. Like, I know. The props in Power Rangers are not the best. Like,
they only have one location they can film at.
I know.
They had to do something to make it look different.
I know, but it's just so bad. Like, they literally just look like pillows. Like, it's ridiculous.
Oh no, we sent the Rangers to Comfy Island.
Quick, activate the mattress monster.
Just tickle them with a feather.
Yeah, exactly. So Zed says the Power Rangers are on the island. It's time to summon our secret monster for this week. And yeah. So it's called the Invenusable Flytrap.
Want to give that to us one more time?
Yep.
The Invenusable Flytrap.
Yeah.
And it is, of course, invincible.
Oh.
Wow. Joel, I need a pun rating from you.
No, the rating is no. Just no.
The rating is 0 out of 5. So, I actually appreciate that they tried, because they usually don't. Like...
Can you say they tried, though?
They tried. I just don't think they're very good at it. Like, but they tried to make a pun. Yeah, so that's the power he has. So basically, it's a bipedal monster that's got, closed Venus flytrap mouths all over it. It's kind of creepy looking, actually.
Yeah.
It's a decent creepy monster design. So we cut back to the Rangers, and
Billy's holding a thing what spins.
Yeah, here's how you know if it's got science in it, it's spinning.
Yep.
That's how you know. So they turn around, and the monster teleports in behind them.
Well, Trini doesn't turn around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I think this is like the reason they had her pull off the scrunchie and just have her hair down for this bit is so that they can make I don't think that's Trini's actress. I think that's just a body double because she still hurt her leg or whatever.
Huh. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, it could be. So at this point, they morph, and this is where we start to see some weird stuff going on, which is that. In this entire sequence, Jason and Zach, do not speak or make karate noises. I've been told that there are, I found a YouTube clip of it, of what they originally did, which is they had a really bad Austin St. John impersonator do the lines. And I'll put them in the episode so that you guys can hear it. But in the Netflix and DVD releases, it's just silence whenever either of them speaks. And it none of it is important, but it's just so obvious because they're doing that whole head shake thing that means I'm speaking while in the suit, and it's just complete silence. And it makes the whole thing feel like someone fucked up. Like, not we made this decision. It looks more like, whoops, we just didn't put the sound in this part and it went to air. My bad. Like, it's so crazy. So this monster says, I'm the invincible flytrap. And as you can see, I am invincible in case you didn't get the joke. so you should give up.
How can you see that though? Like, what about him visibly makes him appear invincible?
I think,
like, what does invincibility
idea...
like, he's not flashing. There's no like music playing behind him indicating he can't be. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because his like mouths are closed that he is supposed to be like invulnerable.
All his weak points are protected.
Yeah, he's no big red.
As you can see,
weak
there's no C anywhere on me.
Yeah, that's true. So they fight for just a little bit, and then the monster opens its like chest mouth and sucks in everybody.
How many times have we had to say that?
More than I ever would have thought prior to starting this podcast. but yeah, how many times have Rangers been eaten in this show? Like, it's pretty high, right? 4 or 5, maybe?
I mean, if you want to extrapolate that to every time a Ranger's been sucked into something, like...
Oh, that's even higher. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, this monster eats like... the... Yes, Mike?
No. I was going to say, like, look, folks, we don't bring up Vor on this podcast as often as we do for no reason. It is for a reason.
Yeah.
This show does for episodes like this.
Yep. So it eats them, and then it goes,
just yum yum eat them up. Okay. The effect is actually really hilariously goofy, because, like, this cartoon, like, wiggly, whatever, some kind of translucent tentacle
rotoscope thing. Energy beam.
Yeah,
it looks like a bad
really
version
wobbly.
Of the Ghostbusters
beam. It's a really
beams.
Wobbly energy yep. beam. And it yep. comes out, and it just hits the four Rangers, everybody except Trini and Tommy, and just, zoop, they're gone.
Yep, and he, basically, the monster's like, okay, bye, later. And Tommy is like, let's chase him. Zordon says, no, Tommy, your powers are too limited. You have to come back.
Oh, before the monster pieces out, he does say that the only way to save them is if the Green Ranger voluntarily gives up his power.
Yes, that is the quote-unquote ransoming part of this episode. and yeah, so they say, no, you know, like, or Zordon's like, you can't go out there because he'll takes, you know, they'll take your powers, or he'll make you evil, or I don't know. I'm not keeping track of this shit anymore.
Well, I don't want to miss that. Like, when Tommy, basically, when the monster makes the offer, Tommy's like, no, I'll never be evil again, which is something he's said wrongly before.
Yes, that's
and then the
true.
Venus flytrap is like, oh, well, that's okay. It just starts rubbing its stomach or whatever it is the equivalent is that it's got. It's like, that's okay. I was very hungry anyway. Like, its voice suddenly changes.
Yeah.
It's a little unsettling.
So Zordon says if the island sinks before they get Hallie back, then, you know, that she'll be lost forever, et cetera, et cetera. Trini says, we can't let that happen. And Tommy decides to do a hero sacrifice moment and says, I'll take Hallie's place, which makes no fucking sense.
No, we have like five or six fake outs in this scene, because there's the fake out of Tommy being like, no, I'll take her place, and then Trini being like, no, I'll go in and I'll fight them alone, and Tommy going, alone? You can't possibly take them on alone. No,
only I can do that.
Like there's like five or six fake outs, and then we even cut to commercial at one point, and then yeah, when we come back, out of nowhere, Alpha's just like, wait, nope, computer's got it. It's all good. Don't worry.
Also,
Alpha's been sitting on that the entire time, but he never knew when to interrupt.
There's a point where Trini hugs Tommy because she thinks he's gonna go by himself, yeah. And the mighty Green Ranger shield is dented by hugs. Also,
yeah.
In case you weren't sure. But yeah, so there's all these fake outs in this scene. Like, he's like, if I ever come back to hurt you, yeah. Like,
it's basically Tommy and Trini, like, arguing over who's going to sacrifice themselves for the yes. greater good.
Yep.
And then Alpha's just like, nope, no, that's not necessary. Don't worry.
Yes. Yeah. And it's the last minute. Like, Tommy is grabbing his belt, getting ready to teleport. And he's like, oh, no, it's fine. It turns out it's fine. And, yeah, so they decide that the weakness is heat, apparently. Of course, says Trini. Of course it is. Why not? So they are going to try to, instead of just shooting it with like a heat beam, they are going to tell the Rangers inside its stomach to make heat? Question mark.
Okay. So this is one of those things where clearly the American team didn't really understand what the Jutsu footage was trying to convey.
That's okay, I don't either.
In their defense, Mike, do you?
Kinda, yeah. So, we cut to the... So basically what happens in the American footage is Tommy and Trini show up in front of the monster and they start not so subtly dropping hints about heat. Like Tommy says, like, hey monster, it's about to heat up for you, or something like that. Like, not very subtly trying to give hints to the Rangers in the stomach that, like, hey, heat is the answer. And then we cut to the stomach, and the Rangers are all like they're all like doing yoga poses. Or
yeah,
something?
What the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
So they're doing the pose. I think they did these poses when they summoned the like power crystals, didn't they?
I don't know.
I definitely remember them doing the whole diamond pattern with their hands.
There, I think yeah. The idea is they're supposed to be like concentrating energy for something, but
yeah.
Like
well, the thing is when. After what happens in the scene, and we'll explain what the Rangers do in the stomach in a second, but when we cut back out, Trini and Tommy are also doing, like, the hand thing. So what I think was originally supposed to happen is, like, they're, I don't know, they're, like, telepathically linking with one another, or they're praying or something. Like, they just knew to do this.
They're
like,
praying
they're tapping into some mystical power, yeah. Because, yeah, some mystical, like, Ranger power, I don't fucking know. But what happens in the American footage is they're like, okay, I guess heat's the answer. Let's put our power coins together. They don't do that. What happens is they put their fists together and, like, rainbow magic starts happening. and, like, Tommy and Trini also start having rainbow magic. I don't know. And they start fighting their way, like, out of the Venus flytrap stomach. And again, I think the rainbow magic was supposed to be, like, whatever this mystical, like, magic thing they were all doing together was.
And
but the American team didn't know how to, like, translate that into, like, Power Ranger-iness, so they're just like,
They were clearly, like, trying to summon their like, chi or something and, like, focus their energies yeah. into, like, glowing fist attacks.
Also, of note, when they are in the monster's stomach is the most obvious, like, cut Jason line, where someone says something, like, Billy says, we should try putting our things together, and Jason's head just goes up and down, and then they go, right, let's do it. And it's like, what happened? It's just really bizarre. So yeah, the monster blows, or they all fly out in the, man, we've seen this a lot, like energy balls, and then turn back into the Power Rangers. And then they have another fight, and they make the power blaster and blow it up.
Yeah, that's well, it. And since they burst out, now its chest is exposed, so now it's got the weak spot. And
right,
shoot
the big
monster.
Red weak spot. Yeah, that's how you. Yep. That's how you kill monsters. Is you wait for the big red weak spot.
Yeah, like
so,
this is some full on House of the Dead boss rush shit.
Yeah, there is a quick Zed line where he says, "No, The Ranger, Blasted Rangers give me indigestion. No wonder the Invincible Flytrap couldn't stomach them, which I kind of love. Like, it's a pretty good deadline.
We also missed a heartburn joke while the Rangers are fighting their way out of the thing's stomach. So,
bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
He also tells Goldar he could not outsmart a fish sandwich, which I enjoy. He could probably outsmart a ham patty, though. he's doing his Zed angry thing, and what? And at some
there's a really dumb Squat and Babu bit here.
Yeah, Babu's like, wait, what did he say? He said fish sandwich.
Before that, like when he starts berating Goldar, one of them turns to the other and is like, good thing that doesn't go for us too. And then when he finishes, he turns to them and he's like, that goes for you too.
Yeah, it's really stupid. So then Zed says, like, ah, fuck it, I'll just sink the island and kill them all. It's fine. No big deal. This goes just according to plan.
The island, instead of just immediately falling out of the sky, just starts to rumble because that's just what happens when an island is falling out of the sky, I guess.
Well, I mean, we know that from countless Sonic the Hedgehog-based media. Yeah. But when
I was holding back a Master Emerald joke. I was, because I didn't want to, you know, be like a one note.
Oh, it's fucking cartoon character, too late, but, dude. You're already like. But it's fine. So yeah, they find Hallie. Is that her name? Sorry, Hallie.
Yep. Yeah.
In the cave, and this is why they had her have that stupid like prince line at the beginning, because what happens is Tommy says,
hold on,
go ahead.
But before you got to get to the way they free her before we get to the line.
Oh,
like
yes,
yeah.
They shoot it with
they
guns.
Shoot the force field with.
So the least applicable place to say, why don't they just shoot it with their guns, is the time when they shoot it with their guns.
I also like that for whatever reason, this time when Trini shoots her blaster, it has yellow bolts, which has never been the case. It's always red lasers, no matter who's got it. But, you know, whatever. That's fine, I guess.
This time it's set to stun, clearly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure. Well.
But the rotoscoping effect of this weird, like, laser grid coming apart as it's getting shot is hilariously goofy.
Yeah. So, and there's this whole bit that comes to nothing about, like, Tommy's gonna grab her before they do that, and it's gonna make him evil or something, and then Trini solves the problem by shooting it. Which is fine.
And, I mean, we did kind of glaze over them running through the island as it's collapsing, and it's that great thing where, like, they're doing the Star Trek thing where they're shaking the camera to make it seem like the island is rumbling, and the Rangers just kind of, like, stumble around.
One of my favorite...
stumble around.
One of my favorite things in the world is when they undo that. Like, they take the shake effect off of those videos, and you can just see everybody on the Enterprise crew just kind of wobbling around. Tommy grabs her and she goes, a prince! And then Tommy, like, fist pumps in victory that he picked up a small girl, which... It's really sad. Like, Trini solved the problem, but everybody's like, good job, Tommy. We know that you need constant validation and positive
when your friend is dying of, like, power cancer, like, you...
Wait, excuse
me? Give him what you can.
That's how power they treat cancer. It, though. The thing is, that's the way they're constantly talking to Tommy about him losing his powers. If they don't treat it like he's gonna stop being a superhero, they treat it like he's dying.
That's
well, because
true.
To them, he is dead when he's not the Power Ranger.
That's
We've seen
true.
That before. Yeah.
They did cut him out of their lives.
Exactly. They stopped talking to him. So what happens now is they take Hallie and we cut to the gym and juice bar, and Trini and Hallie are surrounded by not only Bulk and Skull, but a huge group of people who are, and Bulk and Skull are questioning Hallie about the Power Rangers. And
Skull's trying to recreate an interrogation room thing where he's got like a flashlight he keeps shining in her face.
In this small girl's face. And they're asking, like, how tall was the Green Ranger? What was his shoe size? Give me all these details. And did she see him without the helmet on?
No. She's this will be explained in the joke that happens in a bit, but she's just sort of imagining, like, the Rangers as, like, characters in one of her fairy tales, because the Green Ranger is a prince that saved her.
Gotcha. Okay.
It just so happens that those descriptions somewhat match up with Tom.
Right. I'm sorry, there's a joke we can't miss, which is that she's describing the Red Ranger and says he has brown hair, mysterious eyes, and big shoulders. And then soon they go over to Jason, and Jason is making this, oh god, did she see me face? Like, he thinks for
she
a second.
She knows about my shoulders.
Which, to be fair, you can tell that even in the Ranger costume that he has massive shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever it's actually Austin St. John in the Red Ranger costume, he looks like he's about to explode out of it. But the reason they're asking all this is that they have hired a French artist named Pierre who's wearing like a stereotypical painter getup. Where the fuck did they find this person?
They found him in the cultural stereotype district of Angel Grove.
The stereotype district.
That's where they found the ninjas that one time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like,
this guy is a cartoon character.
Oh, yes. He's like
100%.
Yeah, it's literally like he came out of a Pepe Le Pew cartoon.
Yeah, I was about to say, he saw a cat get some white paint on its back and got a boner. Like, but hold on. Okay, so in our canon, like, for real though, I know we just shrug it off as the stereotype district, but like, for real, where did this Frenchman come from?
I mean,
like, if Angel Grove is one of the last, like, city on Earth or whatever the fuck, like, where did they get a Frenchman?
Look, I mean, there were probably a few tourists.
Well, I mean, Bulk and Skull have the ability to find, like, all kinds of weird stereotypes. They found those ninjas. They found...
Wait, do you think this is a side effect of Bulk's clown magic?
No, I don't think it's unrelated. I mean...
No, that could work. Like, he just thinks, like... Like, he wanted to do, what are they called? The people who do, like, the portraits for the police?
Sketch artist.
Yeah, sketch... Is that literally just sketch artist?
I don't think they have a special
name. That's
what
I've always heard them called. Yeah. The police sketch artist.
Well, yeah, Bulk thought to himself, I want a sketch artist, and then clown magic, like, manifested itself. It's like, okay, Bulk wants an artist. I'll give him an artist.
Right, yeah, Roger Rabbit-esque, like, corruption of his wishes where he gets what he wants, but only in the funniest possible way.
So he asks Pierre for Le Picturuni de la Power Rangers cookies. Ooh, boy.
Just put in the audio of this bit.
Yeah, I will.
Amazing.
It's really stupid.
Like, this French cartoon character with the terrible French accent, like, has the audacity to mock Bulk for his French.
Le Picturuni. Let us see la Picturuni de la Power Ranger cookies.
Oh, your French is fascinating.
Muchas gracias.
Yeah, and then Bulk... this is like the sixth time that Bulk, like, thinks he has proof, but doesn't fucking look at it first before he reveals it to everyone.
At this point, Bulk could have actual definitive proof and nobody will pay a lick of attention to it because he's just shattered what threads of credibility he had starting out.
When he says, I'm about to reveal to you the true Power Rangers, there's a pan over to the Rangers and Jason is actually facepalming, and it is my favorite picture of Jason because he's just like, God, we got to deal with this shit every single week. So he turns it around and it is a picture of like a court of nobles basically.
Yeah,
because again,
knights in armor and ladies in fancy gowns.
Yeah,
and it's
because again,
evil.
She is referencing, fairy tale stuff. So everyone laughs, and Bulk takes it down, looks at it, and just gets, you know.
The little girl comes and takes the picture away because it's her print story.
No, it's very
That's kind
cute.
Of a nice touch.
Yeah, I like, yes, she looks at it and goes like, yep, this seems accurate, which I like.
Yeah, she basically conned Bulk and Skull into buying her a, like, high-quality sketch of something she likes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Bulk goes, you'll never draw in this town again to the sketch artist guy. So that's the episode. I mean, it's just really funny to me that they have this whole, like, why bother with the fairy tale theme? I don't understand the point other than just they thought it was a little bland otherwise. But this episode is so fucking
trying to pick apart any, like, specifics of why they chose to do things in this episode is just an exercise in futility.
Yeah, that's the thing. This episode is completely baffling, and I don't mean in the normal way that I mean that Power Rangers is baffling. I mean, anyone could have looked at this script and been like, this doesn't... Wait, hold on. Change these words. You did a bad job.
Yeah, at times it feels like they put in extra effort just to make it make less sense.
Yep. Yeah, it's really bad. But that said, it's super enjoyable for those reasons.
Yeah, no, like, we talked the last couple episodes about how they were kind of boring or, you know, kind of run-of-the-mill, not very exciting, and this was anything but.
They swung the meter back to full-on stupid, which I appreciated, yes.
Yeah, just everything with the fucking balloon, the weird, like, actual fight with the Venus flytrap, whatever the fuck was going on, the attempts to build drama between Tommy and Trini in the middle that get completely fizzled out by Alpha, just, it's all amazing.
God. I like to think that Alpha is just taking the piss on purpose, like, he was watching this going...
I mean, tens of thousands of years with Zordon, like, he has to be used to that.
That's true, yeah. So, yeah, that's the episode. I mean, it's really enjoyable. Again, often the most fun ones are ones that are kind of a big failure, to be honest. But we don't have to watch any really bad spliced together Megazord footage, which is nice. I appreciated that, to be honest with you. I don't know when that goes away. I hope it's soon. And then the stuff with Jason not speaking is just baffling. Like, I don't understand how they put it back out on Netflix and DVD and didn't do anything to make that not so terrible. But,
well, and again, it's not even just Jason, it's Zach too. He has fewer instances of obviously cut lines, but they're there as well.
I would rather they have it there without the stuff than just cut it entirely. Like, that would suck.
Yeah,
it's just
ridiculous that they're in that situation where that even came up as a thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. This is definitely one of those seeing is believing type episodes. Like, you should, if you want to watch one of the biggest train wrecks we've seen in a while on this show, you should watch this episode.
I'm so glad I came on for it.
Yeah, it's a really stupid one. It's very enjoyable. So, I've got some questions this week. If you have a question for us about Power Rangers or anything else, you can send it to us at TeensWithTude on Twitter. The Facebook group is Teenagers with Attitude. You can ask us there, or you can send it to us teenswithtude@gmail.com. And I've got a couple this week. First one is from friend of the show, Eric, and I want to answer this one because I have an answer and I want to see what other people's is. A Monster of the Week decides
to... Isn't that the reason we ask most of these questions?
Shut up, Joel. A Monster of the Week decides to switch sides and become a second alpha. Which monster do you want in this role?
Hmm.
Now, I have a couple, but I think my quickest one is Mr. Tickle Sneezer, though that's a little bit of a cop out because I think that's the answer we always have for.
Yeah.
We would like more.
Not to mention,
time.
He wasn't really on the bad guy's side to begin with. He was just being blackmailed.
That's true.
Or extorted or whatever. The Pudgy Pig, although, like, his upkeep would be really expensive.
Now, the pudgy pig or Norman the pig, the actual pig?
No, Norman has a life. Like, you shouldn't be trapped in the command center.
Okay, fair enough.
Mr. Bones would be fun.
Oh, the from like the second episode? That really, yeah. that would be a good one.
He didn't get to do a whole lot. The merry-go-round, yeah.
I want to see him hanging out. I want to see him and Alpha having like a day out where they're hanging out at a like an amusement park.
Yeah. Speaking of amusement parks, my pick is Pineapple the Clown.
Oh no, 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 no.
Yes.
I was also kind of thinking the pumpkin wrapper.
Yeah, that was the one I was about to say. I'm like, isn't there a wrapping pumpkin?
Hey, I feel like you guys are forgetting that there's a wrapping pumpkin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good one, too. So, I mean, honestly, a lot of them are entertaining enough that I would like to see a little bit more of some of those monsters. And then some of them are
the
super
Goonie
boring.
The Goonie Bird egg guy should have been a recurring monster.
I mean, he just wanted eggs. Like,
yeah, like he should just be—he just show up in episodes looking for some more eggs.
He could be like the cabbage guy from Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're constantly
my Goonie Bird eggs.
Yeah, be okay with that. So let's see. Next question. The question is: Joe asks, which Zord would you replace with a new design that still fits the season theme? Of the Thunder Zords.
For the Thunder Zords, yeah.
I think the most obvious is either of the feet or both of the feet, because they look terrible. Like, yeah, the fact that we talked about it when they were introduced, but the fact that they just have flat bottoms and, like, don't... That's not how I should have phrased that. And don't have, like, legs or even visible wheels. It's just, they're kind of lame. Like...
Yeah, like, they're very clearly meant to be the feet of a Megazord and not, like, a cohesive thing of their own.
Right, and I actually don't mind the themes they picked for them, but give, like, one of them is supposed to be a unicorn, right? Like, just give it legs, like...
Yeah, like, they could do the same thing they did the last quote-unquote season for the Sentai, mm-hmm. and, like, have the legs, like, fold up when they're in foot form.
Right, yeah, I think that's the biggest issue I have with any of the individual Zords for...
Yeah, you make
Zords.
That unicorn look like an actual unicorn. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I would like that. The other one that's kind of weird is like the quote-unquote lion, which again, we talked about, it's a Chinese mythology thing. And I like that Zord. I think it looks cool, but it doesn't translate super well, obviously, since we were like, wait, what now? And had to look it up.
Yeah, the problem is outside of those specific things, I don't know enough about Chinese mythology to really... offer alternatives.
Well, they don't really do Chinese mythology, though. They just kind of make it mythology, because it's a unicorn and a griffin, right? That's the other ones. So, it could be anything. It could be...
Yeah, but that wasn't what they were originally, were they?
Well, no, I feel like there was an actual Chinese bent to it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, then, yeah, I that's fair. I don't super know. They I understand...
I'm still kind of the negative Nancy when it comes to the Season 2. Robots. I think kind of all of them, besides the red one, are kind of shit. So
tell me how you really feel.
Like, if you're telling me, like, hey, here's your opportunity, replace all the Season 2 robots, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm replacing all of them. And you know what I'm replacing them with? The Season 1 robots.
Okay, well,
that's my answer.
I feel like that's sort of against the spirit of the
I don't question. Give a fuck.
Damn.
So, we have another listener question from Joel, which I think is unfair, Joel. You're abusing our Facebook group, but whatever.
You're the one who said you'd use it.
It's too good of a question. Joel asks, if Zordon could wear hats, what kind of hat would he wear?
Wait, can he not wear hats? He's a head.
He's a head, but he's in like an energy thing. Like, I don't think he can change what he looks
just,
like.
Then he just needs an energy hat.
Like a top hat?
Yeah, I mean, I think a top hat is obvious. I think he's big enough of a douche that he might wear a trilby, to be honest with you.
I was picturing him more in a pork. I was kind of picturing him in a pork pie, but that might just be like me backfilling because Bryan Cranston is playing him in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's a good answer. Yeah, sure. So just a Heisenberg hat.
Right.
That'd be pretty fucking hilarious if he just looks like Walter White but blue in the movie.
Oh, I would be so all about that.
I kind of think he'd have Rangers, one of those like thick winter hats with like the flaps on the side.
Oh, like the fuzzy like Russian hat stuff.
Yeah. Like the
That sounds pretty good. Yeah. I just want
Zordon. Wait, did
hats.
We decide, like, we know Zed and Rita are Jewish. Is Zordon Jewish too?
I don't think we have enough information.
Are you suggesting he should wear a yarmulke?
I'm suggesting he might.
I think honestly my best answer is they just need to shoehorn in a wardrobe trying on scene where Zordon goes away and comes back with a new hat and all the Rangers shake their head no, not that one. And like an 80s pop music.
It's a changing room fashion montage and like celebrate good times is playing in the background.
Give me a YouTube montage of Zordon. Like it's the same footage of Zordon just with different hats.
God, that's all
I want. Color beanie. Indiana Jones fedora.
Wait, a beanie with like the actual little propeller on it also?
Yes.
Okay, good.
helmet with goggles. Like both aviator thing.
Yep. I need this. I need Zordon with hats. Someone find me that Photoshop. It must exist already, please. Oh, god damn it. I don't know. Maybe
he should totally wear the Devo hat.
The who?
That weird like Devo.
You mean
Devo?
Devo.
Devo?
They specifically say how to pronounce their name in their song. Yes.
You know what? This is not a group of people who can make fun of other people for the way they pronounce things.
At least not Zach.
Oh, I got called out.
Are we not mean? We are Devo.
I got a bunch of people giving me shit for how I say Imgur. But that's what it looks like.
I mean, it's how they spell it, yeah.
Apparently it's supposed to be Imgur, but...
It's supposed to be Imgur. Like, they're trying to be hip and edgy and, like, full of 21st century, like, we're deliberately spelling things shorter. And
why does every technology...
The website started as a free project to, like, work alongside Reddit. They didn't have the money for vowels, okay? Those things are expensive.
Why is...
There's two vowels in it!
Why is every
right,
app
and that's $400,
a...
Mike!
Why is every app just a word where they took some of the vowels out? Like, Grindr, Imgur, that's all
Tumblr.
The ones that I can
think of.
I think
Tumblr kind of pioneered that. It's the same... That's the same reason why all Pokemon's names are capitalized, because by making them proper words, they can trademark them all.
Wait, really? Oh my god, that's gross? Smart, I guess? I don't know. I can't tell.
It's smart, but in a very dumb way.
Yeah. Yeah. God damn it. Okay, fine. Anyway, the answer is put Zordon in all the hats, please. Thank you.
Oh crap, we're still on that question.
Yeah, well, technically. I had to bring it back, and then we'll move on.
I mean, since we're burying ourselves in hats, do you think Zordon plays Team Fortress 2?
I mean, he has to, right? Like, he has to get bored.
He does.
Yeah.
He doesn't have hands!
Hold on. What TF2 class would each Ranger play?
I don't want to do that question.
I do.
Okay, well, you tell me the answer, then.
Okay. Clearly, Trini would play the Medic.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking just by virtue of that, I think... I was going to say Billy, but no, Billy would be the engineer. Billy would fucking love to play the engineer. Let's see.
I don't, why are you doing this?
I feel like Jason would gravitate toward the heavy, because Jason...
I've lost control of my own thoughts.
Tommy, with Tommy?
My favorite part is how invested in this question everyone very clearly is. All right, I have one last question, and then we'll call it a day for this week. Joe also asks, if each Ranger endorsed a novelty food product, think Fred Flintstone's Fruity Pebbles, what would they be? I'm going to change this question, though, because I, like I said, the going through all six Rangers, if Bulk and Skull were endorsing a novelty food product, what do
Timmy
you think
P's
it would be?
Real brand mayonnaise.
God damn it. That's yeah, such that's the obvious given. Answer, and I didn't consider it. Oh, okay, fine.
They've basically already endorsed it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I know we don't even have to come up with a jingle. They already did it. Good job. Yeah. You don't think Timmy P would be thrilled to have that as his commercial on that airs like 50 times
a
week?
3 a.m. when it's the only time it's legally allowed to air?
You don't think that commercial would pass through standards and practices?
I don't know how that scene in Power Rangers passed standards and practices.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, you guys crushed that question, so I'm out. That's all I got for this week.
Wait, we completely ignored the question and answered a different question.
Well, yeah, do you guys have a thought for any of the Rangers, like, off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, Jason is clearly the spokesman for Ernie's Gym and Juice Bar.
Okay.
Billy would just be one of those guys who shows up on like infomercials on TV hawking whatever new product he'd created.
Oh, he's like a Billy Mays type.
Right. Yeah. Except he's selling only stuff that he himself made.
Do you think Billy is into Soylent?
Yes.
You know what Soylent is?
Yeah, he would be. Well,
Soylent is like a food replacement thing. Where there that has become fairly popular recently. That's just
Look,
supposed
if
to have
a thing that takes a normal thing everyone does and changes how you do it. Yeah, Billy's probably into it.
Yeah, it's just supposed to be something that you eat instead of
actual
food.
It's a big like Silicon Valley libertarian thing. It's the idea that like we don't need the Food and Drug Administration. Engineers can figure this shit out.
All right, that's it for us this week. If you've got any questions, you can send them to us at. Oh, God, I did that already. Okay.
Yeah.
if you have complaints, you can also send those to us at the same addresses.
I'm surprised we don't get any. You should probably send us some complaints. Keep us back, get us back on track, because I don't know what we're doing.
Should we insult more tertiary video game characters?
No.
Yeah, that's apparently the why.
So come back next week, because the episode title is The Song of Guitardo, and it couldn't possibly be a good thing. So
I think that's supposed to be Guitardo, not Guitardo.
Did I say it worse?
It's like a guitar.
Oh, okay. All right,
there's that goes again.
Oh, great. Good. So, yeah, come back next week for that. Until next time, I've been... Oh, God. Until next time, I've been Zach.
I've been Mike.
And I've been Liz.
Holy shit. Awesome. And may the power protect you always. We did it.
Yay.
So, Golgar, you have returned. This means you have the girl.
Yes, oh fiendish one. We grabbed her right off the beach.
Excellent. Perhaps you have a brain after all. And the instructions? Where's the bottle?
Well, I lost it in the battle.
In the what? The battle? With the little girl? Oh, poor Golgar. It must have been fierce. I should make soup out of you. Actually, this might be even better. When the Power Rangers find out where the girl is, they'll come to rescue her.
Yes, they always do. I remember one time when we...
Silence, Vacuum Head! When they come to save the girl, we'll ransom her. And our price? The Green Ranger.